That's the eyes. Then the mouth, blasphemy, which can also be translated in that particular verse, slander, gossip, talking behind someone's back, talking down to them, patronizing, slandering them, spreading tales, defaming them. Never say something about somebody that you would not say in their presence. Never say something about someone that you would not say in their presence. The evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness, two ends of the spectrum. Pride is when you think you are all that, and you don't realize that you ain't nothing without God. He's the vine, you're the branches. Without him, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing, honey. Pride. I'm not talking about satisfaction and gratitude for doing a job well done. I'm talking about arrogance. Pride. And it's so subtle. I mean, none of us goes around saying, yeah, I'm bad. But we, in our mind, we just get that just below the surface feeling like, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? Yeah, boy, that was me. Yep. I know me, boy. Yeah, I'm good with me. I'm good. And on the other side is foolishness. What is foolishness? Foolishness is doing things without any sense of propriety or gravity or value. Or we just go and live impulsively, and we do all kinds of crazy stuff without any thought as to who it's going to hurt, whether it's appropriate. We have no sense of the presence of God. Tozer used to say, when you walk into a church, man, you ought to walk in like God was standing there. You ought to walk in with a sense of worshipful reverence. Foolishness does not recognize the holiness of God. Foolishness does not recognize the gravity of the issues that we deal with in life. Foolishness treats everything as if it were a joke and has no sense of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. And it doesn't mean that we fear God with the morbid fear, like he's going to jump out and scare us or bite us or something. But it means we fear him with the reverence that is due to him, because he is holy. Only one word comes to mind, as the song says. Holy. Holy. The angels, there are literally angelic beings that do not cease from saying, holy, holy, holy. Because God is holy. And foolishness has no sensibility to that. It is superficial. It's frivolous, it's flippant, and it has no sense of humility before the august holiness and majesty and righteousness of God. And those things defile a man. You don't even have to do them. You can just think them and dwell on them. And from as God looks on the heart and not on the outer man, God sees that defilement within the soul. Praise God. Religion cannot cleanse you from that. Being a religious person cannot cleanse you from defilement any more than being a celebrity can cleanse you from a murder rap. Was sharing the gospel with one person today. I said, do you believe you'll go to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, I work with children. I said, you got my sympathy at least. But she didn't say it that way. Oh, I better go to heaven. I work with kids all day long. There got to be some reward. No, she said it with joy. She's like, oh, yeah, because I work with kids. Well, obviously, that wasn't the million-dollar answer I was looking for. But you can take a celebrity and all of the good things he does, he can be like a saint in the eyes of the world. But if he goes out and kills somebody, he's guilty. He's going to jail. So all of that stuff cannot save us. There's only one thing. There is only one thing. There is only one thing. There is only one thing that can cleanse a defiled soul. What is that? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood, the precious, holy blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But oh, how that blood washes. I don't care how dark, wicked, or unspeakable your past might be. I don't care how terrified you are of the memory of what you did makes you. There is nothing so dark, so bleak, so hideous that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse that white as snow. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in torment. You don't have to live in regret. You don't have to be paralyzed and in bondage by something in the past. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. And He wants you to have the joy of that cleansing. So many times when we have things in our past that haunt us, even if we believe theologically, yes, I know what it says, in our spirit, we're still haunted and we believe, oh, if only I hadn't done that, I could be closer to God. Oh, yes, I know He's forgiven me. I know that the promises of God are true, but oh, how I wish I could be close to Him, and I know that this thing is standing between us. No, it's not! How He yearns for you. How He longs for the deepness of the fellowship, for you to just throw yourself in His arms and enjoy the goodness and the love and the mercies of God, His tender mercies that are new every day. Every morning you wake up, He is there waiting for you, waiting to bless you and pull you to Himself, because He wants to spend the day walking with you and you walking with Him. He loves your company. He wants your company. He wants you around. When we come to church, we don't have to feel, oh, I hope I praise Him enough to feel Him. Guess what? You don't have to perform for God. Just come and rest in the knowledge that He is there waiting for you. Praise God. I believe, I'm persuaded that probably nearly everybody, if not nearly everybody in this room is saved. But if there is one person that somehow I've missed the mark on that is not truly saved, that you have not truly repented of sin and thrown yourself on the mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ and received that for your salvation, please do not let that go undone. But what if you are saved? What if you are saved? You're born again. You've been washed in the blood. What about spiritual defilement in that situation? Does this message have any meaning to you at all? Well, when Jesus went to wash His disciples' feet, He went in the upper room. Jesus girds Himself with a towel, fills a basin of water, says, I want to wash your feet. And that was a pretty messy job because, as I said, you know, they didn't have asphalt back then. They had roads with animals, live animals. And when you walk down the road, your feet got pretty messy. And usually it was a servant's job to do that. But Jesus, their Lord, wrapped Himself with a towel, got down on His knees and said, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no, never happened, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't do this, you know, you have no part with me. So Peter said, okay, well, in that case, wash my whole body. I had a shower in weeks. That's how they were back then, you know. That's how they rolled back in the day. Anyway, and Jesus said, no, you don't understand. He who is washed only needs to wash his feet. In other words, you are cleansed. You are declared righteous by God. But as you walk through the activities of this world, you know, you mess up here and there. This happens or that's, and you said that, you thought that, and it doesn't affect your salvation, but it can definitely affect your fellowship with God. It can definitely affect your spiritual power. It can definitely affect the degree of joy and peace and power in your life. And we need to keep short accounts with God. God wants us to wash our feet regularly, as it were. And so these things do affect us. Because let me tell you, man, if the church of the living God all over the world, but especially in America, the Church of the Living God would wash its feet once in a while. The things we could do, the impact we could have. Doesn't your heart long to see this world changed for Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you love to see the day come again when people would be embarrassed to be seen walking into some of the movies they laughingly go into now? Wouldn't you long for the day when you could walk in an auto parts store and they wouldn't dream of talking like that in front of customers? Don't you long for the day when you could actually send your child to school and not be afraid that they were going to be carried downstream into some abysmal place of spiritual decadence? Don't you long to make an impact where Christ is exalted in our culture and people know right from wrong? Even though some may be lost, they know why they're lost. And the church is so powerless today because we're not walking in that holiness. We're not walking in that purity. We're not walking in that fellowship with God because our feet are filthy. And God's not standing here with a baseball bat to condemn us. He's standing with a towel and a basin. And He wants to wash our feet because He has so much for us. He wants to usher us into the chambers of the King. But you can't come into the chambers with dirty feet. You got to wash your feet. If you want that kind of intimacy, you got to wash your feet if you want to hear His voice that with that clarity, guiding you, leading you, giving you prophetic insight, giving you insight into people where you walk into a room and you see a person and instantly the Holy Spirit reads their mail and tells you how you can bless them and set them free. That kind of power comes with intimacy, and that kind of intimacy comes with cleansing. It's a holy place. It's a sacred place. And I've talked about what spiritual defilement does. It robs us of power, peace, joy. It gives the enemy a hold in our life. If we persist in it, it invites the chastening of God. And we have no need to persist in it because we've been born again. We read in 1 John, he who is in Christ cannot continue in sin. You just can't walk blithely through life defiled because you have a new nature. And God has given you power. You don't have to walk in sin. You don't have to walk in the things. Don't believe for a moment that Satan has any addictive power over you that the Lord cannot break and smash into pieces. There is nothing he has on you that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse and wash and enable you to have the power to walk out of. So we don't have to walk in that stuff. We've been born again. We have a new heart, a new nature. We have His Spirit living inside of us. And He has such great things for us. I don't want to walk around with dirty feet. I want my feet to be clean. Boy, I want to be able to take off my shoes and my socks and have them shine. Actually, they do if you look at the tan on my leg. I want them bad boys to shine. I want people to pull out their sunglasses when I take my shoes off because of the cleanliness of my feet. I want to be able to put my foot on somebody and not have them recoil and say, "Oh my gosh." Yeah, you better laugh.